Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday morning, September 21st, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, as well as some prayers and devotional, and my thoughts, hopefully driven from a biblical worldview that has shaped my learning. So that I'm as much giving the Word of God, even in those opinions, as opposed to my own, possibly coming from anything shaped by this world. So, I hope you're having a good morning so far. Definitely interesting here. We've come back onto a week of rain or so, and then I think our monsoon season's gonna be gone, but, it was nice to wake up. It was only 70 degrees this morning, so wasn't quite as cool as I would have liked it, but definitely gave me the option to get all the windows open and cool down the interior of the house and kind of save me a little bit of a power bill. So lighten up the load on my air conditioner here as we're coming into fall. And let's go ahead and get started. So as has become our regular practice, that each morning we read through three prayers, well, three or four, depending on whether it's Sunday or not, but prayers from the Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. And you'll notice in the show notes, I have links to everything I'm going to read this morning. But I would definitely, even though I'm reading from the electronic, I actually own all but the Legacy Standard Bible in a hard copy. And I would definitely recommend that you get hold of hard copy versions. So also in the show notes are links to where you can get hold of Valley of Vision and then Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, where our devotional comes from. So let's go ahead and get started with our prayers this morning. We're going to be doing so as like I said, has been our practice as well. The first two prayers we do each morning are Resting on God and Grace in Trials. And they're about you and I taking all of our trials and tribulations and all and laying them on God and knowing that He is in control, that He has ordained this, that He knows what's going on, and that truly all He ordains is for the good of those who believe in Him. So that in this crazy world you and I are living in, these have been of great benefit to me, and that's why I want to share them with you each morning. So let's get going with Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now our prayer for the morning. It's the fourth day morning. It's called True Christianity. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity, not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to him, our conformity to him, our knowledge of him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. All right. And now our amen. And our devotional for this morning. It is the September 21st morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Again, like I said, I would recommend getting a hard copy of it, and I would recommend reading the evening reading yourself. You can actually reach it later in the day from the link I've sent you. If you just refresh the page, the links show up down the right-hand side menu. It'll show back up for later in the day. It'll show up for evening for September 21st or evening for whatever day you're working on. So again, it's the morning, September 21st, article. And the scripture for today is for this morning is Jeremiah 32:41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. How heart-cheering to the believer is the delight which God has in his saints. We cannot see any reason in ourselves why the Lord should take pleasure in us. We cannot take delight in ourselves, for we often have to groan, being burdened, conscious of our sinfulness, and deploring our unfaithfulness. And we fear that God's people cannot take much delight in us, for they must perceive so much of our imperfections and our follies, that they may rather lament our infirmities than admire our graces. but we love to dwell upon this transcendent truth, this glorious mystery, that as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so does the Lord rejoice over us. We do not read anywhere that God delighteth in the cloud-capped mountains or the sparkling stars, but we do read that he delighteth in the habitable parts of the earth, and that his delights are with the sons of men. We do not find it written that even angels give his soul delight, nor doth he say concerning cherubim and seraphim, thou shalt be called Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. But he does say all that to poor fallen creatures like ourselves, debased and depraved by sin, but saved, exalted, and glorified by his grace. In what strong language he expresses his delight in his people, who could have conceived of the eternal one as bursting forth into song? Yet it is written, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. As he looked upon the world he had made, he said, it is very good. But when he beheld those who are the purchase of Jesus' blood, his own chosen one, it seemed as if the great heart of the infinite could restrain itself no longer, but overflowed in divine exclamations of joy. Should not we utter our grateful response to such a marvelous declaration of his love and sing, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. All right, that's our devotional for the day. Sorry about the stuttering through there. Just to let you know, I would hope you know, but just to let you know, when I'm reading this with you, I'm reading it cold. I've not yet read it this morning. So I'm reading it, when I'm reading it to you, we're reading it together for the first time this morning. So sometimes I stutter a little bit. I hit points where I'm like, wait, wait, wait. And I realize I didn't quite inflect the sentence appropriately. Sometimes I can correct it on the fly when I realize it, and sometimes not. All right, let's get into our Bible reading for today. So our four chapters for today are 2 Samuel 17, 2 Corinthians 10, Ezekiel 24, and Psalm 72. So 2 Samuel 17, and remember here, so Absalom has revolted, David has fled, Absalom has come back into Jerusalem and has gone into the concubines that David had left. And Ahithophel, who used to be one of David's counselors, is now helping Ahithophel. But there are people like Hushai and some of the priests, Zadok and Abiathar and their sons, who David left behind, who are going to work to help David out here. So here we go. 2 Samuel 17. Then Ahithophel said to Absalom, please let me choose 12,000 men that I may arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary with his hands falling limp and throw him into utter fright so that all the people who are with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone and I will cause all the people to return to you. The return of everyone depends on the man you seek. Then all the people will be at peace. And the word was right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what is also in his mouth. Then Hushai came to Absalom, and Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken thus. Shall we carry out his word? If not, you speak. And Hushai said to Absalom, this time the counsel that Ahithophel has counseled is not good. Then Hushai said, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are bitter of soul, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war, and will not spend the night with the people. Behold, he has now hidden himself in one of the caves, or in another place, and it will be when he falls on them at the first attack, that whoever hears it will say, there has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even the one who is a man of valor, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are men of valor. But I counsel that all Israel be utterly gathered to you, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea in abundance, and that you personally go into battle. So we shall come to him in one of the places where he can be found, and we will set down on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and of all his men who are with him, not even one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel shall carry ropes to that city, and we will drag it into the valley, until not even a small stone is found there. Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for Yahweh had ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that Yahweh might bring calamity on Absalom." Then Hushai said to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, "This is what Ahithophel counseled Absalom and the elders of Israel, and this is what I have counseled. So now send quickly and inform David, saying, 'Do not spend the night at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were staying at En-Rogel, and a servant woman would go and inform them, and they would go and inform King David, for they could not be seen entering the city. But a boy did see them and informed Absalom. So the two of them went quickly and came to the house of a man in Bahurim, who had a well in his courtyard, and they went down into it. And the woman took a covering and spread it over the well's mouth and scattered crushed grain on it so that nothing was known. Then Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house and said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said to them, "They have crossed the brook of water." And when they searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened, after they went away, that they came up from out of the well and went and informed King David. And they said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus Ahithophel has counseled against you." Then David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed the Jordan. And by dawn, not even one remained who had not crossed the Jordan. Now Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. So he saddled his donkey and arose and went to his home, to his city, and set his house in order and strangled himself. Thus he died and was buried in the grave of his father. Now David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom set Amasa over the army in place of Joab. Now Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithrah the Israelite, who went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom camped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened that when David had come to Mahanaim, Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the sons of Ammon, Machir the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, lentils, roasted seeds, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of the herd for David and for the people who were with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." All right, 2 Corinthians 10. "Now I, Paul, myself, plead with you by the gentleness and forbearance of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but courageous towards you when absent. But I beg that when I am present, I need not act so courageously with the confidence that I consider to daringly use against some, who consider us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds, as we tear down speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is fulfilled. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say, 'His letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is weak and his words contemptible.' Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also in deed when present. For we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the area of influence which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as if we did not reach you. For we were the first to come, even as far as you, in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure and other men's labors, but having the hope that as your faith grows, to be enlarged even more by you within our area of influence, so as to proclaim the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the area of influence of another. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Amen. Ezekiel 24. And the word of Yahweh came to me in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth of the month, saying, Son of man, write the name of this day, this very day. The king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. Speak a parable to the rebellious house, and you shall say to them, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Put on the pot, put it on, and also pour water in it. Put in it the pieces, every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with choice bones. Take the choicest of the flock, and also pile wood under the pot. Make it seethe vigorously. Also boil its bones in it. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, Woe to the city of blood, to the pot in which there is rust, and whose rust has not gone out of it. Take out of it piece after piece, without making a choice. For her blood is in her midst. She placed it on the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may cause wrath to come up to take vengeance. I have put her blood on the bare rock, that it may not be covered. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, Woe to the city of blood! I also will make the pile great. Heap on the wood, kindle the fire, completely cook the flesh, and mix in the spices, and let the bones be burned. Then stand it empty on its coals, so that it may be hot, and its bronze may glow, and its uncleanness may be melted in it, its rust brought to a complete end. She has wearied me with toil, yet her great rust has not gone from her. Let her rust be in the fire. In your uncleanness is lewdness, because I would have cleansed you, yet you are not clean. You will not be cleansed from your uncleanness again, until I have caused my wrath against you to be at rest. I, Yahweh, have spoken. It is coming, and I will act. I will not regret, and I will not pity, and I will not relent. According to your ways and according to your deeds, I will judge you, declares Lord Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow, but you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently, make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your headdress, and put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. The people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things that you are doing mean for us? Then I said to them, The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Say to the house of Israel, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. And you will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache, and you will not eat the bread of men. And your headdress will be on your head, and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn, and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities, and you will groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel will be a wondrous sign to you. According to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am Lord Yahweh. Now as for you, son of man, will it not be on the day when I take from them their strong defense, the joy of their beauty, the desire of their eyes, and what lifts up their soul, their sons and their daughters, that on that day he who escapes will come to you with a report for your ears. On that day your mouth will be open to him who escaped, and you will speak and be mute no longer. Thus you will be a wondrous sign to them, and they will know that I am Yahweh. And Psalm 72. O God, give the king your judgments and your righteousness to the king's son. May he render judgment to your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains lift up peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. May he give justice to the afflicted of the people. Save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Let them fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon from generation to all generations. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. May the righteous flourish in his days and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. May he also have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Let the desert creatures kneel before him and his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands bring a present. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer tribute. And let all kings bow down to him. All nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. So may he live, and may they give to him the gold of Sheba, and let each pray for him continually. Let each bless him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the earth on top of the mountains. May its fruit wave like the cedars of Lebanon, and may those from the city blossom like vegetation in the earth. May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. Let all nations be blessed in him. Let all nations call him blessed. Blessed be Yahweh God, the God of Israel, who alone works wondrous deeds, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are completed. All right, that's our reading for today. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day. Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we again are so blessed to be able to come together today and to share in your word. Lord, we would pray that your word would lift us up, as I say each morning, would lift us up, would equip us, would edify us, and prepare us so that we can truly walk in this word, truly walk in this world as witnesses to Christ, that we could truly walk in a Christ-like manner and be those witnesses in this horrifically fallen world that it seems to be just charging more and more towards being even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lord, we would pray that we could be those examples, that we could be that light that came out from under the bushel, or as Charles Spurgeon's devotion said before, that we would be that torch after the crockery was broken, so that the torch would come out, and that we would truly kind out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Lord, we would pray that in all things we do today and in the weeks to come, that all we do, we would do for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful day out there. And as I said in the prayer, everything you do today, do it for the glory of God. All right. Have a great day.